Shall we take a look at what's happening in the world of tech? Gadget detective Fevzi Turkulp is here with us. Fevzi, lovely to get you back on. The government announcing these plans to introduce drone registration. It's certainly been in the news, hasn't it? This sounds, to be honest, like common sense, doesn't it?
It is. It's not going to solve the problem completely because guess what? Criminals won't be registering. So those people that use drones to fly contraband into prisons will probably not register and go on the course, I would hazard a guess. But at least it makes it a requirement. So we should at least get rid of those that do it, you know, by accident or ignorance. So they're going to be forced to register themselves as the owner of that drone. And then they're going to have to take a test that proves that they understand UK safety, security and privacy regulations. Government's also stepping up and extending the technology called geofencing. So this is where the drone has a GPS chip in it, rather like a sat-nav has a GPS chip in it. And it's programmed with no-fly zones, so things like airports and prisons and so forth. So again, if you have one of those drones, it should be impossible, at least by accident, to fly into those areas. So I think it's a good thing, but clearly it's not going to solve the problem completely.
No, completely take that. So at the point of purchase then, so if you're down your local store, you have to fill in the form or register it online there and then. I couldn't take a car, I couldn't go and buy a car and drive it on the road without it being registered. It would be the same thing for a drone.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the government hasn't been clear about this and hasn't, in its own words, ironed out the nuts and bolts of the matter yet. So we don't know when this is going to happen exactly and exactly how they're going to do it. I mean, I think it's rather difficult because unlike cars, you know, you can import a drone from a Chinese website and, you know, it may or may not get picked up by customs, depending on how they declare it. So it's kind of difficult. And I think the other issue is you need to have some sort of beacon on drones that identifies them in the same way as an aircraft is identified, or indeed a car has a car registration number, so that you can look up, you know, who is the owner of that drone at any given time. And until you have that, it's going to be very hard, because how are they going to enforce these? If a drone is flying in the vicinity of a commercial aircraft, you know, how are they going to trace that back to the owner if it's not properly registered? It has to be registered, and has to have a beacon on it as well, which of course gets very expensive, all of this. So it kind of takes the fun out of it, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to commit more money to it. It can't just be, you know, you buy one of your kids a drone for Christmas, because any drone over 250 grams, which is almost all of them, will have to be registered, it seems.
Well, she'll say wait for the nuts and bolts to be ironed out. But a lovely story, this, the fact that there's technology now that can identify food recipes from just a photo. I've been reading this piece. I couldn't believe it. How does it do that then?
Yeah, so this is part of this sort of big data artificial intelligence revolution. So the way that artificial intelligence is developing now is not the way it was before. In the past, we used to try and come up with specific rules to teach computers things. So, but it was very difficult. If you try and teach a computer, for example, what a dog looks like, you know, dogs come in all shapes and sizes and breeds and colors, and even a single dog will, viewed from many different angles, would look to be something different. Not to you and I, because we understand what a dog is and the context of it in sort of 3D space, but to explain that to a computer is difficult. So now what they do is they use big data. So in this case, what they did was they fed it a million photos of food,
yeah,
and the corresponding recipes for those photos of foods, one for one. And it uses algorithms to spot similarities between the food that it sees after its training, which will never be exactly the same as any of those photos, but it learns to spot similarities in the way that you and I can spot, you know, a dog. Even if the dog's not called Spot, we can spot the dog. and we can tell that it's a dog. And in the same way, it developed an understanding, an intuition, if you like, for what is food and what it's likely to have in it, and what a recipe for it is likely to be. It's not perfect yet. It worked best on desserts, but it found smoothies and sushi more challenging. I mean, could you look at a smoothie and tell what was in it? I couldn't. Much less sushi. It's fascinating, and this is the way it's going to go. And I think what's interesting about this is that we see now that these artificial intelligence algorithms will develop capabilities that are beyond humans. Humans cannot generally, unless you're a sort of expert chef, you generally can't look at a meal and know exactly how that was prepared. But that's the direction of travel for these computer programs. Although it did, they showed it a picture of Black Forest Gâteau and it described it as chocolate mocha cake with frozen grasshopper squares. So maybe we shouldn't worry just yet, but it's on the way.
It won't be winning MasterChef anytime soon, yeah.
Maybe not too far in the future either.
Maybe not. Your gadget of the week looks really neat. Tom, tell us all about it.
Okay, so this is most homes now have flat screen TVs and some of them are quite large, but often we live in homes where either we're not allowed to drill the wall to wall mount it, and especially, you know, imagine it's a 60-inch TV set, it takes quite a lot of wall mounting, and also, you know, if you've got a fiberboard wall or something, it won't easily take that weight. You may end up with a hole in your wall. So what the company One for All have come up with, so One for All are the people that do all these all-in-one remote controls that control, you know, your TV and your video player and all the rest of it. They have come up with this TV stand. It's called an ultra slim TV stand. Model number is WM6471 for those that are interested. And what it does is it allows you to mount a TV of between 32 and 60 inches right up against the wall. So it appears to be wall mounted. There's a thin bit of metal that comes down below it and a big foot that goes under the piece of furniture, like the TV table or whatever it is. So instead of sort of standing in the middle of the room and instead of having to be screwed to the wall, it does that. And in the back of that metal, that's not really any thicker than the strip that we tend to run down the wall to take the cables. So it's got cable management behind it, so it will hide all the cables. It looks, when it's done, it looks like a wall-mounted TV, but it isn't, and it takes literally 10 minutes to do. Most of the pieces snap together, and the only bit where you need a screwdriver is the four screws that put the mounting plate onto the back of the TV. Other than that, no tools required, and literally 10 minutes to put it all together. And I've wall mounted televisions before, and it's not a pleasant experience, particularly because you're always worried that it's not completely straight and you've got your set, you know, and you've got your guide out and all the rest of it. So this is a nice solution. It's not cheap. The cheapest I found it was £169 in the high street store, but I think it's a good solution, particularly, you know, those of us in, you know, rented accommodation or with unsuitable walls. This is a good solution. No. And by the way, some big computer monitors can be mounted in this way as well, which is kind of fun.
It's a very neat gadget. Fevzi, as ever, great to talk to you. Fevzi Turkulp, he's our gadget detective with his gadget of the week and a couple of stories well worth sharing with us this evening. It's 6:30. Look at the time.
BBC Radio Oxford.